Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We're joined by George Raceley. He is the editor of a terrific online resource, Conservative HQ, a member of the American Mensa, which means he is a genius, as I've come to establish in my interactions with him. He has served both in the Congress of the United States and in the executive branch, and notably with Vice President Dan Quayle during the presidency of George H.W. Bush. He is a very, very productive contributor to the public policy debate about lots of things, and we'll have a chance to talk with him about several of the most important of them now. George Raceley, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. It is always good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Frank.
George, having deserved all of those accolades, let's talk a little bit about some of what's going on in the executive branch at the moment. As I mentioned, you've served there before. We're watching what you called in a recent piece at Conservative HQ, President McMaster taking Donald Trump to war, by which I think you're referring to his plan for Afghanistan unveiled this week. Give us a flavor of the sort of the backstory here, George, as well as your thinking on the advisability of this plan.
Of course, you'll recall that during the campaign, then-candidate Trump was very skeptical about what was going on in Afghanistan, was asking the question, why have we been there 16 going on 17 years, and indicated that he was very dissatisfied with the strategy in place for Afghanistan. He also recognized that a major part of our national security challenge today is the war Islam has declared on the West. You know, my concern about the, Afghan strategy that's now been proposed is it's basically just more of the same. There is no strategy for actually defeating the real enemy here, which is the Muslim battle to impose Sharia on the rest of the world.
Sharia supremacism, I call it. We've been told that by the president, not once but twice in the course of that speech, that our forces will be there to win. Does that not meet the test as far as you're concerned?
Well, no, because we're fighting a kinetic war over there in which we go over and try and clear territory and, make the town, city, countryside safe for the civilian population, which is something that we can't even do in Chicago, let alone Afghanistan. And we're not fighting the motivating factor in the battle, which is Islam. And you've got McMaster and others who, continue to hold to this whole Islam as a religion of peace folly instead of actually recognizing that that's what's causing the war.
And George, as you speak about this, of course, I'm minded of the fact that not only was Donald Trump very ill-disposed towards all of this, sort of more of the same, just throwing more dollars at problem or worse, more American troops' lives, without actually clarity about what's going on. He also spoke during the campaign, of course, about radical Islamic terrorism. And man, you call President McMaster, when he showed up at the National Security Council for the first day of meetings with his team, he, as I understand it, right out of the box said, "I don't agree with the use of the term radical Islamic terrorism." As you think about, the human dynamic in general, but most especially inside an executive branch like this, would this constitute an incompatible disloyalty to the president, if you will? And if it's tolerated, is it likely that it will breed a lot more of this kind of behavior, very much at odds with the president's agenda and, well, I think for that matter, what the country needs at the moment?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct in that, Frank. And certainly what I saw when I worked at the White House was exactly that if there's no expectation that the members of the president's administration will actually follow his lead, then what you get are people running off, doing their own thing, and typically undercutting the agenda of the man that was elected to lead the country. And that's what's happening here. And, you know, Trump in his speech admitted at least two times that I can think of, well, I'm flip-flopping on this. And, of course, the reason that he's flip-flopping is that he was essentially undercut by those that he hired originally to implement his agenda. And so if you don't get people that are going in the same direction as you are, you're definitely not going to get where you promised the people that voted you, you know, where you're going to go.
And, of course, this problem has been compounded, it seems to me, by the departure of Steve Bannon and a number of others who actually supported the president in his policy approach on Afghanistan and so much more. And I'm struck, too, by just today, a gentleman by the name of Gary Cohn, who is the top economic advisor to the president, has apparently come out in the Financial Times expressing his deep unhappiness about what the president has done to date with respect to all of this business in Charlottesville and the aftermath. It suggests that he is reportedly disgusted and appalled with Trump's response, and the idea that it must do, the administration must do better, is certainly, I think, emblematic of this kind of disloyalty. If the president doesn't fire Gary Cohn or otherwise discipline him in a very, you know, demonstrable way, is it, in your experience, George Raceley, again, predictable that he will find more and more people who are nominally working for him more and more publicly undermining him?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, Cohen is trying to ingratiate himself with the smart set of, you know, the Georgetown social salons, instead of implementing the president's policy and supporting the president in what I believe is an exactly correct response to Charlottesville and the other outrages that have been perpetrated by the Soros-funded left.
Meaning that there is a need to point out that it's at work here as well. In fact, there's some evidence that they may have engineered the whole affair in the first place by having an Occupy Wall Street guy standing up this so-called white supremacist operation. And again, you've spent a lot of time in this town, George Raceley. Let me just ask you, what seems really to be going on here is an effort by the hard left, working, by the way, with their Islamist pals, to suppress freedom of speech, and with it, you know, our other freedoms. Is that a fair reading of what we're witnessing?
Yeah, I think that this is the, you know, this is really the battle of our times, is the red-green axis versus constitutional liberty and the First Amendment in particular. You know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion are all under assault from the left and their Islamist allies. And if guys like Cohen can't recognize that and support the president in his efforts to fight it, they have no business occupying space in the White House.
George Raceley, we have to leave it at that for the moment. I did take heart in my commentary this for this program. I mentioned it that the Rasmussen poll has found that 85% of those they polled indicated they thought freedom of speech needed to be protected, even if it resulted in people being offended. I'm hopeful that that will be a message to our political figures, because they seem to be, with the notable exception of the president, running headlong into the arms of enemies of freedom, and it's a frightening prospect. George, thank you for what you do to defend freedom and explain what's at stake for all of us at Conservative HQ, as well as for your extensive public service in previous lives. Come back to us again very soon, if you would. Next up, we will be speaking with Elaine Donnelly. We'll talk about the president's policy on transgenders in the military. God love him. He's making it happen, apparently. More on that soon. Right ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.